are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Tuesday, October 24th, 2017. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, shock doctrine in full effect in Puerto Rico. Ryan Zinke sends a cleanup crew that did not even exist before the hurricane hit the island. Meanwhile, Bill O'Reilly is pissed at to God. Apparently God partially responsible for his massive harassment payouts. Speaking of harassment, the assault on the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau begins by Republicans. They have 2 short weeks to get rid of the provision that protects consumers from so-called arbitration clauses. And after unshackling debt collectors, Betsy DeVos calls disabled students rights. Meanwhile, Xi Jinping goes big time in China, bigly. So huge. And the new season of Handmaid's Tale is here. There's forced birth for immigrants under the Trump administration. More white terror, unworthy of news. And Bannon supposedly dumps Milo. Meanwhile, millions of children risk losing health care in just a matter of weeks because CHIP remains unfunded. All this and more on today's program, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, we are back from Vegas. By we, I mean me. I mean, there are other people who are back from Vegas, I imagine. I also imagine there are some people who stayed there. If you did not hear the interviews from Thursday and Friday, I would encourage you to go. We did 2 interviews on opioids, which are a nice companion piece to what you can read in the New Yorker now about Purdue Pharmaceuticals. They are at one end of the supply chain. And according to the attorneys that I spoke to last week, the suits, the major suits, at least initially, will come with the distribution mechanism because those folks had a statutory obligation to report on what was happening. I imagine there's other potential areas where people could be sued in the context of opioids, but certainly these 3 major companies that had a statutory obligation to report what they were seeing. And then ultimately, we had this congressman who just had to step down from being the drug czar nominee, who lobbied to roll back those statutory obligations on those companies from reporting what they were undoubtedly seeing, which is, wow, we're selling an awful lot of opioid pills to a small amount of people. That seems weird. But check those out. Also, I did not win big time.
Did you lose big time or just not a win?
I mean, I lost
stuff,
big time for me.
It was
tough stuff.
In a certain sense. Okay, got it.
It was, there were 2 zeros after the number that I lost.
Tough stuff.
$300.
Tough stuff.
It was tough. And I gambled a lot. So in some ways it was, I kept going up. I kept going down. I was up a couple $100s.
Are you drinking unusually heavily this time?
No. Why do you keep asking me that?
I was just wondering.
Well, I think I probably drank less.
Ooh.
That could be
defensive.
The problem.
Defensive. Huh? Very defensive.
I was very focused.
I drank less.
Well, because I spent more time at the tables, and I won't drink.
Oh, you're focused at the tables. Very serious business.
Well, I used to try and act like I was drunk so that they thought they could get one over me, but that doesn't work that way. I did sit at the table of my favorite dealer, who's at the Bellagio, who tells you to double down. If you're sitting at a 6-5 odds table, double down on a blackjack against the six.
Who are you impersonating when you pretend?
I'm joking. I didn't pretend I was drunk. That would be childish.
Right, right. It's totally... Well, say no more about something you would never do.
I understand the dynamic where it's not like the dealer says, like, oh, here's a drunk guy. I'm going to be able to take advantage. It's not the dealer's money. It's not the way it works. It's not like I was going into like
illegal...
You have a
structural understanding of how
Las
Vegas works.
It's not like I'm going into an illegal poker game and...
See, that sounds fun.
No, I didn't do that. But as always, Vegas was... I always learned something. I will also tell you that anticipate lawsuits regarding the shooting. There may already be some in terms of the bump fire stocks, bump stocks, but there's going to be more. And it seems rather obvious. You walk around the casino, there's a tremendous amount of security. One would assume, like, what else would you be able to protect us from?
That story has really, I mean, was it still really present in Vegas? Like, it's totally disappeared from national conversation. It's kind of amazing. I mean, it's usual shock and trance thing.
When in Vegas, particularly at these conferences, I don't go outside of
right.
the casino hotel area very much at all. I have no cause to. Although they do have something where you can go and rent like a huge backhoe and dig stuff for like $250, like for 90 minutes. And I will be doing that next time. But in the casino, I believe in sort of like some quiet conversations I had with some people who work there, people are supposed to not bring it up and not discuss it. Because obviously everyone there are tourists and there's, I don't know, some type of fear or whatnot. When I spoke to some people outside of the casino and some of those people on the sly, there was, you know, people were upset. There was a slight feeling like I remember from post 9/11, where there's just sort of like a tentativeness and a little bit of shock. There is, I imagine it's not, you know, the same level of intensity, but it's also, you know, you experience these things, you see them. I think people who are closer in proximity to what was going on, or in terms of people they knew, it was obviously much more, disturbing. But it was weird. There was a little bit of eeriness, but it's also that place is very geared towards tourists. And so they don't, there was a big attempt not to, to talk about it. I want to get into this story about what's going on with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, because it has to do with some of what we spoke about in Vegas in terms of Equifax and in terms of identity theft and just the deals that you get into. But first, just a reminder, I mean, here's a question. In New York, for the most part, everyone we know lives in an apartment. And so you don't really contemplate the idea of an all heating system or cooling system having filters. Maybe, I guess, in sort of new buildings. But it's not the responsibility of the tenant to change it. But in the houses, you have an air filter if you have a forced air system. And our geothermal system is a forced air system. So I've been dealing with filters for 15 years now. And it is a pain in the butt to source them. it is a pain in the butt to remember to remove them, and because you got to change them out or they're not doing their jobs. And they're super important. They keep dust levels down. They filter out airborne allergens. If you have asthma or allergies, it's a real problem unless you are using these filters to keep it clean. And the number one problem with home filters, right? I mean, you can buy any type of filter. You can get certain levels of how what kind of pathogens they'll pull out of little particles they'll pull out of the air. The quality of these things vary, but not so dramatically. The number one problem is forgetting to change them. The average homeowner changes their filters 1 to 2 times a year, and the minimum is 4. That's the very minimum. And the beauty of Filter Easy is that it reminds you to change them, and you don't have to store a big box of filters like I do. For years, I just had these huge boxes, and I would always forget, like, where did I get these things from? I don't want to remember. And this is so much easier. You don't have to forget to change the air filters. They deliver the exact size of home filter to your door when it's time to replace. You save 5 to 15% on all home air conditioning costs by keeping your air conditioning and heating systems cleaner. And they actually last longer. I got a big talk from my guy about that. You can get started today. Go to filtereasy.com. And Majority Report listeners will get their first delivery of a standard 1-inch air filter for free with free shipping. You'll see how easy it is. You'll never forget to change your air filter again. Visit filtereasy.com/report and enter the promo code REPORT on the homepage. Check it out. All right. So one of the things, if you recall, during the Equifax breach was that when you signed in, initially, they tried to do this. When you signed it to see if your stuff has been given out, and I mentioned in that interview that we had on Friday, or on, I think it was on Thursday, that I had frozen all my accounts after that because when I went through, it said, yeah, you got a problem. Here's our free, you know, credit protection service. And apparently, at one point during the wake of that, if you signed up for that, you automatically, when it hit, I agree, you automatically agreed to arbitration. Now, here's the thing. When you're talking about two different parties who are basically economically entering an agreement with basically the same power dynamic, okay? More or less. No one's leveraging one thing over another. And arbitration is fine in those instances. But what we have going on in this country is corporations forcing us into arbitration situations that make it much harder for us to get redress. And it's not just because in an arbitration system it's going to be fair and we won't get paid out. It's just that financially speaking, if we don't have the ability to go, let's say, into a class action, into an arbitration situation, if we can't band with other people, it's not worth our while. This is coming out of that Concepcion case in California where AT&T charged all their customers an extra $3 and continually did it. And the court would not allow all of the customers to band together. And of course, it's not worth it for anybody to go in to get $3 back or whatever that amount was. So the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau had an arbitration rule which inhibited a company's ability to force you into arbitration. All right. And we, you know, we see these in employee things, and that's a lot of the reason why you don't hear in some instances, like issues of sexual harassment and whatnot, because there's some type of arbitration, forced arbitration in labor disputes. So it's CFPB rule number one. Congress, the Senate in particular, has until November 13th to use a Congressional Review Act resolution. This is the thing where any regulations passed in the last 6 months of the prior administration can be undone in the first, I don't know what it is, 10 months of the next congressional session. And they have a week and a half to do this. And Treasury Department is the one pushing this. There's still an opportunity. We should tweet out, Dave Dayan has talked about who are basically fence sitters on this. Because it's
Is it on his Twitter?
It's a Congressional Review Act. They only need a simple majority vote. There are swing votes in the rule are Kennedy from Louisiana, Collins from Maine, Portman from Ohio, Murkowski. So if you live in those states in particular, but if you just want to randomly call them, it's worth it. It's important. Meanwhile, Puerto Rico still just dealing with an untold amount of, literally untold amount of suffering. And Ryan Zinke, this is pretty crazy. So Puerto Rico has a state-owned utility. Usually what happens in these instances when a utility company is dealing with this type of devastation, they usually get into mutual aid agreements with other utilities in a similar locality, okay? So, for instance, Florida, Texas, they have these agreements. Florida gets hit. They send electrical workers from Texas over there to help with the grid because, obviously, they have an apparatus and they have a team set up, et cetera, et cetera. So, for whatever reason, it's unclear why. Sure, it has absolutely nothing to do with Ryan Zinke, who's the Interior Secretary. Puerto Rico state-owned utilities turned to a company that is only 2 years old from Montana that on the day Maria hit Puerto Rico had two employees. Now, maybe they were the most expert,
best people,
the most,
only the best,
well-versed when it came to Puerto Rico's electrical grid.
There can't be 25 best people. It can only be two.
There's only two.
They wrote what
and
they
of
versed.
Course, they're in Montana.
Zinke, clever guy. Well, where's my cut?
Here's the thing. The hurricane hits. If they're in Puerto Rico, maybe they get hurt. If they're in Montana, no chance.
Got to think ahead.
Got to stay away from
a lot of Puerto Ricans don't think ahead. And
the
that's a problem, folks.
Is Whitefish Energy. And it said that it had signed a $300 million contract with the Puerto Rico Electric Power Authority to repair and reconstruct large portions of the island's electrical infrastructure. It is the biggest contract issued in the relief effort. As of Monday, Whitefish now has 280 workers in the territory using linemen from across the country, most of them subcontractors, and that number grows on average from 10 to 20 people a day. So at least the money is not being paid to a corporate structure within Puerto Rico that could pay taxes on something like that, maybe. Right. Oh, right. No, well, the two guys back in Montana are on the phones with them constantly. How's it going? The power authority, known as PREPA, opted to hire Whitewash rather than activate the mutual aid agreements it has with other utilities. Unclear why. Whitefish, did I call it Whitewash? They've said the company's expertise in mountainous areas makes it well-suited for the work. Those two guys.
These guys know mountains. They know mountains. I mean, it's unbelievable. I didn't know Puerto Rico had mountains. I thought it only had rum, like bad loans.
It says it acknowledged that it only had two full-time employees when Maria struck, but says its business model calls for ramping up rapidly by hiring workers on short-term contracts. Nice. Super nice. Meanwhile, Zinke, there was a story in Politico that Zinke has been deeply involved in scam PACs.
Where's my cut?
That operate out of the Caribbean.
Nice.
So the whole scam PAC thing, if you've ever signed up for an email from any Republican entity or any conservative thing, they sell your email almost quicker than it takes them to actually send you an email. And eventually you will get emails from these scam organizations. And what they do is they raise money. It's a tax-free donation. And then they spend all the money on their operating costs of their life.
It's not a bad one.
Zinke has some very weird relationships, apparently. He, again, was the congressman from Montana until he became Secretary of the Interior. I can't imagine that Zinke was down in Puerto Rico saying, like, you should maybe use this outfit. I don't know. So Zinke has had this relationship with this guy, Scott McKenzie, he's the organizer of the Virgin Islands GOP Political Action Committee.
Uh-huh. Pretty important group. They've done a lot for Rob and me and a lot of us, in fact.
Republicans in the Caribbean island chain have accused McKenzie of misrepresenting itself to donors.
What, that's a crime now?
It's a crime. It's not a crime. It's just a mistake. Nobody's accusing Zinke of doing anything illegal, but one campaign finance expert said that the information gleaned from this report on McKenzie's PACs show that Zinke was not behaving like a typical politician. And I don't think it was he was bucking the system. Zinke is separately facing investigations by Interior's internal watchdog and independent office of special counsel over his habit of mixing politics and official business. He has cut his ties with these PACs since he's been sworn in, but apparently these PACs he's been using to drive money there. And some... Like this one guy, Representative Will Hurd from Texas, was angered when the Virgin Islands GOP used his photo without permission on fundraising solicitations.
Oh, so we shouldn't spread the free market to the Virgin Islands now?
And he said that the Virgin Island groups and Forthright, which is another one of these PACs, are preying on seniors in a disgusting attempt to enrich themselves, which, oddly enough, is also the logo of the Republican Party.
You're disgusting my enrichment.
Forthright says it raised $1.9 million for Zinke's 2014 race by sending out 1.6 million pieces of email, attracting 44,000 new donors. About half of that haul went to Zinke's campaign for voter mail, radio ads, TV ads, get out the vote activities, and lawn signs. But that was less than the $608,000 that Zinke campaign spent on postage and direct mail from Century Data Mailing Service. So there.
What are we doing? I'm going. I'm going to become a Republican congressman.
It was just very weird.
This is
the operating
so obvious.
$608,000 on postage was spent on direct mail services that is located, oddly enough, in the exact same address as the PAC.
What do you fucking know?
We're going to show you how to raise money completely tax-free, and then spend it with yourself on materials that you use to raise the money. Yeah, and that's the business.
I think I found a renewable resource.
Oh my God.
Hey, am I remembering correctly that, was one of DeLay's scandals that he had a relationship with Guam?
Not Guam. It was the Mariana Islands.
The Mariana Islands. And part of the scam was that
They would pay him to get labor laws excluded.
Yes, but they could put made in the USA, but then have the same conditions as any Asian sweatshop. That was the hustle, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, exactly. All right, let me tell you this story. This story is so effing disturbing. I don't even know how to respond to this. Yes, I do. So apparently, there is a woman. We don't know her name. She is 17 years old. She is a Central American immigrant who crossed the border without documentation. She asked a 3-judge panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals, District of Columbia, to order the federal government to let her obtain an abortion. She has been seeking this abortion for over a month now. The appeals court panel gave the Department of Health and Human Services 11 days to find a sponsor to take custody of the girl. The government is opposing the request. She realized she was pregnant around the time that she was detained shortly after crossing the border. Listen to how the Washington Post describes this. She is currently being held in a government-funded shelter in South Texas run by a private contractor. So she's being held against her will in a government-funded shelter. That's so nice of the government to fund a shelter that's run by a private contractor. Oh, there's another word for that. Private concentration camp? Is that what we call that?
Yeah, quite literally.
Private detention center?
You say it in a German accent.
Pro-life.
A government-funded shelter. Oh, that's so sweet. That is holding her there. I think definitionally a shelter is something that you seek, not necessarily that you're held at. The teen has permission from a state judge to obtain an abortion, but Trump administration officials have refused to allow anyone to transport her to the clinic. They are literally preventing her from exercising a legal right that she has. Trump's government says it has a policy of refusing to facilitate abortions for undocumented minors. The Obama administration allowed them. There is a well-settled Supreme Court precedent that holds that the government may not impose an undue burden on or completely block a woman's ability to obtain an abortion. They are not allowed to do this. The Justice Department also reiterated the government's view that the teen could solve the problem herself by voluntarily leaving the United States and seeking to terminate her pregnancy elsewhere. Okay? But wait, it gets worse. Because the government acknowledged just Friday that the country where she would be deported to, abortion is illegal. Here is a clip of her attorney, I guess, right? On MSNBC. This is crazy. This story is just nuts. This is forcing a woman to have a child.
not to allow her to be transported by anyone to the abortion facility. As a result, she's being held hostage by the federal government, and she's not allowed to access her constitutional rights.
I know at one point her parents were involved. Her parents were contacted. What happened there?
Her parents in her home country were contacted, which also is just unbelievable. She suffered abuse at the hands of her parents in her home country. Mm-hmm. And nevertheless, the federal government contacted them and told them about her pregnancy. This is extremely dangerous for young women who are already abused at the hands of their parents, for the government to be telling them confidential information that could further damage that relationship.
And at one point, the government said, we're not saying that she can't necessarily get an abortion. She could always return to her home country to get one if she wanted to.
Which is absolutely absurd. Nobody should have to choose between facing, going back to their home country, facing abuse in their home country, and exercising their constitutional rights. She's here in the United States. She has constitutional rights, and the government is denying her.
I want to read part of another email from Lloyd telling Seth that, quote, the unborn child is a child in our care, and also says a pregnant girl should be prevented from meeting with her attorney or going to a judge. Prevented from meeting with an attorney or going to a judge.
That's right. Scott Lloyd wants to authorize every single step in the way of any sort of abortion process. He wants to be able to say yes or no to the ultimate abortion decision, and the Supreme Court has said that that is blatantly unconstitutional. No one can have a veto power over another person's abortion decision.
All right, we're going to stay with this. Bridget and Mary, thank you.
And I would remind you that her home country abortion is illegal. And before any dum-dums call in to say, how can she have constitutional rights when she's not a citizen of the United States? And before any dum-dums write it in any comment section.
You're covering a Googling. Lot of dum-dum
yes,
platforms
do
here.
A little Googling. Do a little reading. She's in this country. She is afforded constitutional rights. So if you don't like it, then leave this country and find a different constitution.
That's right.
This is sick. And, you know, this is the way that precedents get created, too.
Isn't that
the government is protecting the unborn child?
Isn't that why they're doing it?
I would imagine it's a twofer. I think it's a twofer. I mean, again, I think they're doing everything they can to scare and terrorize immigrants in this country. They're doing everything they can to be as draconian as possible. But yes, this is a twofer. If they could get a Supreme, a circuit court, 3-judge panel, if they could get a full circuit court, 3-judge panel could just be 3 conservative justices picked by Republicans, which is what happens when you elect a Republican, just as a reminder. The full D.C. Circuit Court is still mostly picked by a Democrat. So they tend to not be as horrific as this. But would that set a precedent? They certainly would try. They would certainly try to have it. All right. Should we play this Bill O'Reilly sound before we go into the fun half?
God, why?
This is pretty good.
Why is that so, forsaken me?
So Bill O'Reilly today apparently on his No Spin News web show, which we did not want to spring for. And here's the interesting thing. Like,
part of me does, to be really honest.
Well, we've bought one before, but we got to wait until Dennis Miller comes on to discuss the $32 million. Because if Dennis Miller has any integrity as a comedian or performer, he's going to give O'Reilly shit about the $32 million. It's got to be something like, hey, Bill, remember that time you gave me a massage? Can I have a million? Something like that. It's going to be something like that.
It's like the brig when Scotty beamed up the blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Can you give me $1 million?
You got completely.
That's the next stage of Miller is he literally doesn't even do the filler. He just goes, it's like Star Trek, blah, 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 blah. Give me $2 million, Billy. I'm just kidding. Hey. I'm depressed too, Billy. I'm eating Pepperidge Farm cookies and thinking about homeless people still getting social programs.
You got totally Klingon there. It was like that time where the Klingons had the special Zargon plutonium crystal.
And then the Romulans showed up. And then you had to give a big payout because you kept calling this black girl chocolate milk. Bada bing.
Here's the thing. When Bill O'Reilly left Fox, when Bill O'Reilly was fired from Fox, for the life of me, I couldn't understand why he was doing his podcast. Like, buddy, just roll it up. You know, enjoy your millions. And I actually think that he may be somewhat cash starved. I mean, he had to give out $32 million. God knows what you do to have to do a $32 million payout. It goes well beyond any, you know, Title IX payout numbers. That is big, 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 big money.
On the show yesterday, we're doing his attorneys being like, Bill, please, just even let us have a vacation. Could you do a week without harassing somebody at work?
So this guy's paid out tens of millions of dollars. Not to mention, he just got divorced. And
bitch.
And
fucking
presumably,
bitch.
You know, I don't know if the
God.
I don't know if the settlement was like, we need to have a fund. We need to keep a fund alive just in case.
The settlement will determine whether or not I keep my faith or not. Fuck!
So, No Spin News web show. According to CNN, after the Times, O'Reilly had this to say. You know, am I mad at God? Yeah. I'm mad at him, O'Reilly said. I wish I had more protection.
Sorry about that, buddy.
I wish this stuff didn't happen. I can't explain it to you. Yeah, I'm mad at him.
God went PC, Billy. Hanging out with God is like being on the set of Hair, except no one's getting laid anymore. Ba-da-ba.
Billy, remember that time I said you could do horrible things to people who are working for you? I was just joking around. Sorry.
Psych. Sorry about that.
I was just messing with you.
PC culture's even catching
Sorry,
up with me.
You know, my bad. My bad. I really let you down.
For thousands of years, consent was very negotiable, but around 2015, it started to actually mean something.
That's right.
Those college kids even got to me. Sorry, Billy.
I got you confused with some guy from, back in late antiquity.
Yeah, I meant that if you lived in Babylonian times, you could do that to your assistant. It's not in the 21st century, Jesus Christ.
Bro. Yes, I didn't realize.
I mean, quite literally, Jesus Christ.
You don't understand up here. Time is dilated. And so everything is happening at
everything
once.
Everything is moving faster.
So
it's happening
like
at once.
Track.
You're losing your track of time. You're on your iPhone. You're saying, can I see your pussy to one of your assistants? And you realize you're not in Roman times anymore, Bill. It doesn't
so
work.
So strange. I thought you were a shepherd. That was the problem. I forgot what was going on. So, sorry.
Hey, Bill. You know who really is a shepherd? Wait for it. Hannity. I'm just fucking with you. No, but seriously, you are going to have to pay out.
Yeah.
You should be mad at me.
The
God, why is that for sake of me?
Bill O'Reilly's lawyer put out a statement. Once again, the New York Times has maliciously smeared Bill O'Reilly. Well, that's good for Bill O'Reilly, because I think if you maliciously smear someone in your publication, there's going to be some compensation that's going to come back to O'Reilly. This time, even failing to print a sworn affidavit from his former lawyer, Liz Weil, repudiating all the allegations against Bill O'Reilly. Now, isn't she the one who... She the one who actually got the settlement?
I believe so.
So they're arguing that we have a sworn affidavit repudiating all the allegations she made after she got the $32 million.
She said she liked it.
And she put it in an affidavit, but I wanted to give her $32 million because I support women in media. Fucking New York Times and God and my wife and everybody.
I want to make this absolutely clear because there's, I don't want to get caught up in any litigation. I would speculate that the timing went, the money shows up in the bank. She literally goes in and checks the money in the bank. Maybe even counts the money and then signs the document. That's my guess as to what the order of those things happened. Here is Bill O'Reilly after he had an interview with the New York Times. The New York Times explains how they captured this audio. Folks, when you're sitting down with Bill O'Reilly, you always have two recorders, not one.
So we had lugged the special recorder from the Daily and brought it with us. So we had the high quality audio, and we stand up and we turn off that recorder. We still were recording on our phones. And at that point, O'Reilly wants to make a last point.
If you really wanted to know the truth, you'd let him tell you. On background.
And it's at that point that he gets as animated as I've ever seen anyone in any type of interview that I've been in.
Yes, we have physical proof that this is bullshit. Bullshit. Okay? So, it's on you if you want to destroy my children further. Right? Because it's all crap.
It's almost like you can feel the vibrations in your own chest.
Why don't you be human beings once? This is horrible. It's horrible what I went through. Horrible what my family went through. This is crap. And you know it. It's politically and financially motivated. And we can prove it with shocking information. But I'm not going to sit there in a courtroom for a year and a half and let my kids get beaten up every single day of their lives by a tabloid press who would sit there, and you know it.
Thank you for your time.
Oh, my God.
Now, look, it's conceivable that he is seeking to protect his children who, over the course of the year-long case, might be subjected. Might be. It's not like he's might be subjected to this. But they also might have, at the end of this, the opportunity to clear his name. Feel like daddy fought the good fight. And also, we still have access to that that $32
million. Yeah, my kids aren't pussies like Bowling's kid, all right? So they're not going to off themselves based off of one allegation. But you keep going for it. And the liberal media, David Brock and Media Matters, maybe it's 30 allegations. Even the biggest non-pussy, non-bowling-style kid might off themselves.
How low do you go to make this about your children? Right? Like, I can understand you want to protect your kids, but I got a feeling that his behavior up to now, I mean, at one point, somewhere around like the $25 million that you've paid out of the 60-some-odd million, right? Isn't it really go up to like $40 million? What is it? 40 some odd million dollars that you have paid out. At one point around like the third or fourth or sixth $1 million, you say like, you know what? I've got to stand up for myself because this is just going to keep going on and on.
Yeah, you know what? You know
I'm
what, Bill? This is
$40 million.
This is God again, Bill. You've had a nice run telling black people to pull their pants up and harassing every single woman from the age of 20 to 60 in your vicinity for decades. Maybe it's time to just take an L on this one. Sometimes you have to, as Tim Black would say.
I mean, honestly, like, the fact that he's so deep into it, he can't even see it from 5 feet away.
He clearly thinks he's a victim. I mean, obviously.
Without a doubt. Yeah, yeah. Without a doubt.
It's a classic bit of misdirection, right? Like, if you don't, it's putting the blame on the people who are reporting on this stuff instead of the people who are doing it.
They're dragging him down.
Those reporters did sound pretty annoying, though. I gotta be. They sounded exactly like the kind of annoying sort of like NPR. And they're like, Bill, we have more evidence of you harassing people. And he's just like, oh, fuck you, God. Some fucking iron glass sounding motherfuckers exposing more of my endless harassment.
Maybe all right, that so was part of the trap.
I spent $40 million Jamie, on this shit.
Jamie, when we go into the fun half, because it's such a fun topic, Jamie has been getting a lot of calls from the British press today. Is that right?
Yep.
Why have you been getting all these calls? They want, is there like some type of like a soccer match they want you to comment on?
Unfortunately, no. I guess it just came out today that Condé Nast sent out a memo to all of their international properties that nobody is to run any photography by Terry Richardson.
And this guy, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, because frankly, I didn't know until you told me who he was. And then, like, I mention it to people, and they're like, of course. How could you not know who that guy is? But he's like a big fashion photographer. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, he's basically the Harvey Weinstein of the fashion world.
Sounds nice. And exposed this guy 10 years ago, right?
In 2010, so 7 years ago, yeah.
And where was
get
it?
Get your facts straight.
Where did you write that piece?
I wrote it for a little women's site called thegloss.com.
Thegloss.com. All right, you'll tell us more. I want to hear more about this in the fun half, because that's what the fun half is all about. We're
fun.
For liberals to destroy people's reputations. And then what happens is Bowling's kid offs himself.
All right. That's...
Yeah, actually, that's the only apology that Bill O'Reilly's made out of this whole thing. Was that, you know what, Eric? Shouldn't have talked about your kid killing himself in the context of...
What? Did he?
This is where the joke is coming from.
O'Reilly
tweeted an apology at him.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't even know that O'Reilly had addressed it.
Dude,
Oh, I missed that part.
Sorry about that, Eric. I shouldn't have talked about your pussy kid in the context of talking about how my kids might kill themselves if I get exposed for flashing my dick at women at work. It's a whole chain of events.
Psychos.
Folks, fucking God.
Listen, we're going to head into the fun half, but we have an ask of you today. No, always, you know, if you want to join the show, please do. Join themajoritypreport.com. But... really important. We are trying to get a better sense of how people come to listen to the show, why they listen to the show, how they listen to the show. We don't ask you anything about your demographics or any of that stuff, although maybe that probably would have been a good idea, but screw it. People get uptight about that. And so I'm more interested in what and how you came to the show. And so head to majoritysurvey.com. If you are a, you'll see here, there are three surveys. Here, pull that right up. There are three surveys. If you listen to the free show and you're not a member, click on that and you will answer that four-minute survey. If you watch live, or you watch our show on YouTube, click there and you there's your survey. And if you're a podcast member, your survey is there as well. So please, I know it's a pain, but it's honestly, these are very quick surveys. It's all multiple choice. If you want, there's a room for comments if you want, but that's not necessary. Go there. It'll be extremely helpful for us. It has nothing to do with demographics. We don't ask anything about you other than how you came to listen to the show and maybe a little bit of what you like, but not product based or any of that crap. So it's really just a way for us to make this show better and to get more people to listen to the show or watch the show and maybe contemplate how we will grow the shows. Also, tonight, Michael Brooks is hosting this show called The Michael Brooks Show. And tonight, Waz and Hunter Matz. Is that a name of a person? Hunter Matz?
I believe that's the name of a person.
They will be debunking the race and IQ myths. What myths? I've been listening to... Oh, in other words, the way you say this is they're going to be promoting closed-mindedness, right?
Yes.
Promoting closed-mindedness tonight on the Michael Brooks Show.
And disinviting people from the battlefield of ideas and shutting down open exchanges of debate.
Don't forget, majoritysurvey.com, majoritysurvey.com, majoritysurvey.com. 646-257-3920. We'll be right back with the fun half.
All the time she said no, 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 like to speak my mind. She said no, 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 and I know the time's not free. She didn't waste none on me. Situation sad. She said no.